as you could see from that video up there, baptism is mentioned a lot of times in the Bible. Many, many times it talks about baptism. And most of it's in the New Testament. And I thought, really, that it was a New Testament thing. That's what I thought. Until I started having a look. And I discovered that actually, Moses did a form of baptism when the Israelites were in the desert. And they did something wrong. They would cleanse them by using water. They may have to spend some time outside the tent, the camp, but generally speaking, that's how they sorted it out. They cleansed them using water. So baptism was going right back to when the Israelites came out of Egypt. They also, if a non-Jew converted to Judaism, so one of us guys became a Jew, started following Judaism, they would have a bath. One of the rituals they did is they would bath them, signifying the fact that they were leaving behind all the wrong stuff that they'd been doing, that the Jews felt they'd been doing, and that they were cleansed and clean. So it goes way back. And there are, as I said, many stories, particularly in the early church. Christian baptism signifies, it's a picture of, the death of an old life and the beginning of a new life. That's why we go under the water and we come out so-called clean. It's not like having a bath, but it's a picture. It symbolises that that's what we've done, that when we've given our hearts to Jesus, we've asked him to cleanse us from all the sin we've done, and so we are a new creation, we are clean. And that's what baptism is all about. And in Matthew 28... Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize new converts as part of the Great Commission. It reads, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So Jesus gave it as a command that as a new Christian, we needed to be baptized. We need to baptize people. And I think most importantly is the fact that Jesus himself was baptized. And it's recorded in all four Gospels, so it must have been an important event. Jesus was baptized himself, and we know that he came to the earth to show us how we should behave. So if he got baptized as the Son of God, then we certainly need to be baptized.
In the book of John, it says this. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one who I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water so was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave his testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Thanks, Lord.
Could you put those words back up just a second, guys? Could you put those last lot of words up? This is unscripted, sorry. They're just so apt. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. And over here, I've got a pictorial picture of that. Dave's going to attempt to be cameraman and get it up on the screen so that you can see. I apologise if you can't. We'll just wait for it to get going and sort itself out. I have in front of me three glasses. I have a glass named Jesus, slightly different colour because, let's face it, Jesus is the Son of God as well as human, so a bit different from us. I've got red signifying sin, the things we do wrong, not signifying blood, signifying sin. And then a cup that's us, you, me, everybody in this room. And what happens when we're born and when we start our lives? We start doing things wrong and sin comes into our lives and changes us. Some of us get changed more than others, depending on what we're up to. But sin changes us. And then there comes a day when we decide that actually we've had enough of this and we want to follow Jesus. We want Jesus to be a part of our lives. We want Jesus to reign in our hearts. We say sorry to Jesus for all the things we've done wrong. And Jesus comes into our life and he takes away the sin. Some of us take a bit longer than others to actually get over it all. And the sin keeps entangling us, but we are set free from the sin. Now, that's possible because Jesus came and he died on the cross. I'm hoping that floats enough for you to see the cross. Can you see it? Yeah. So, Jesus came and he died on the cross for you and me because he loves us so much. And I like to think that even if there was only one person in the world, he would have still done that. He died, he shed his blood so that we could be washed clean, because we want to be clean from sin so that we can come close to God, because God is such a righteous and holy God. It's really hard to come close to him when we're full of sin. So we want to be clean from sin. And Jesus came along and he took all the sin on him when he died on that cross. He took all the sin. And sin is no longer has the hold on us anymore. We can go to God, we can ask God for help, we can ask Jesus for help. And no longer has sin got a hold on us. No longer does sin bind us up and change us. Jesus coming in changing us. But that was because on the cross, Jesus took all the sin of the whole world away, so that it doesn't have the power to hold us. And that's what we're doing with baptism. What we're doing is we're showing that actually we used to be full of sin. We used to be filthy in sin. And we're going under the water and back up to show, to signify that actually we have asked Jesus into our hearts and Jesus has taken away that sin. It doesn't mean we'll never sin again. It just means that if we do, we can come back again and again. He loves us so much that he cares so much that he will forgive you again and again and again. Never get caught in that trap of thinking, I've done it again. He won't forgive me this time. He will, because he loves you so much and because of what he paid on that cross. Thank you. Oh, it's me again. Zany game. Here we go. We have a messy game. So, because we're talking about baptism and we're talking about signifying cleaning, I have made a gunge tray. It is, I assure you, all made out of things out of my kitchen. Oh, there's a bit of paint in it, but it's only children's paint. And I did take a spoonful of soil out of one of my new plant pots. But that's it. Everything else is out of the kitchen. There's Carter ketchup, there's coffee, there's tea, there's flour, there's water, there's all sorts of things in it. And what I need is some volunteers. I need an adult and a child. Come on, then. Oh, we could do all children. That'd be good. Come on. Come on down. Oh, could somebody get me this bowl of water, Dave? Could you get me this bowl? I don't think I can do that one-handed. That goes in the middle. All right, come on. There were more hands there. Come on. Come on, yeah, and you. We need one more. One more. Pairs, we're doing this. Come on then, Matty, you come as well. Okay, two at this side and two at this side. The challenge is, can you clean the tray? Come on over here. Over here. This side. You're working as a team. Oh, Matthew. Oh, you're going to come and help. Thank you. Right, there's only one of these. That's your first problem. Your other problem is the soapy water's in the middle. And you need to decide at what point this is too filthy and you need to go and clean it. But the aim is to clean this gunge off this tray as fast as possible. Now then, because I'm into shouting and I'm into cheering, you guys up to here, this is your team, so you've got to cheer them on. All right? Okay? I'm expecting a good cheer from you. And then this side, guess what? You're this team, so you've got to cheer this team on. We will give it a certain length of time, either when somebody thinks it's completely clean or when I think we've done it enough, and then we'll decide which is the cleanest one. I haven't got any prizes, I'm sorry. Unless you want to take home some more of the gunge because there's some in the tray back there. Okay, are you ready? So, do you understand what you've got to do? Now, you might decide you want to wet it first. You might decide you want to go dry. Totally and utterly up to you. Try and take it in turns so that everybody gets a go. All right, on your marks, get set, go! Oh, it's proving hard. Different techniques going on here. Oh, you're coming to wash it off again. Give it a good squeeze. I did give them some soapy water, but it is cold, not hot. How are we doing? Let's have a look over here. Oh, wow, yeah. You're going to have to squeegee it out, aren't you? I was a bit silly putting white trousers on. Dave, what time are we doing for time? I've no idea. We're okay. Can we do a bit more?
Yeah.
Right, keep going, keep going, keep going. That music was good. Yeah. There is the same amount on each tray. Oh, sorry. Has it got on there? I'm sorry. Keep going. I think maybe you need to go and squeeze yours out. How are you doing, girls? Oh, you know what? It might be a bit difficult holding the tray up for you to see. Oh, yes. I reckon these guys do the washing up at home. Is that right? No? No? Well, you ought to, because you're good at it. There you go. You got yourself a job, washing up at home. You going to get it washed up again? Quick, quick, quick. How are we doing? Have we gone for no water on yours? Oh, I think we need to stop now. Right, Dave, can you show us the trays? Because I don't think I can hold them up. That's the one. Oh, where was your cheering, by the way? So much for your cheering. You failed on that one, didn't they? No cheering at all. Yeah, you don't deserve them to win because you didn't cheer for them. Well done. Let's give them a clap. Well done. Thank you, guys. That's lovely. Thank you.
Oh, hello there. Can I help you?
Oh, yeah, I hope you can, please. I want to buy a really exciting testimony.
Really? What do you need it for?
Well, I've been asked to give my testimony at church on Sunday, and, well, mine's a bit dull, you know, a bit everyday, really. I want something people will really want to listen to.
To which people will want to listen?
What?
To which? Preposition before the verb.
Well,
you can't buy one here.
Well, hang on a minute. This is Testimonies R Us, isn't it?
Yes, but we're not really a bookshop. We're more of a library.
Oh, okay, so then I can borrow one.
Yep, which means it's free. You can borrow as many as you like.
Well, what do you recommend?
Okay, so you want one that's really exciting.
Uh-huh.
How about... this one. Now, this is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
This person's faith got them thrown into a lion's den, but God kept them safe all night. And, this chap's one of my favourites. He always thought he was big and strong, but crumbled when the going got tough and experienced amazing forgiveness and went on to be the rock on which the church was built. Oh, and this one. Now, his is quite a story. From going all out to stamp out the church, he went on to help spread the gospel all across the world. And this guy, well, he was dead for 4 days, but his sisters...
No, hang on a minute, stop. I mean, I know these, don't I? I mean, the first one was Daniel, the second one was it?
Peter?
Oh, Peter, yeah, that was it. And the next one then was Paul, and the last one was...
Lazarus. Yes, yes, amazing testimonies.
Yeah, well, that's great, isn't it? But I recognise them. I mean, they're from the Bible, and actually they're all men.
Okay, but cracking stories.
Yeah, but don't you have something that isn't from the Bible? That's really exciting, but not from the Bible.
Well, we do have a bronze silver and platinum excitement level testimonies. They're all equally valid in my eyes, but it depends what sort of punch you want to pack.
Well, let's start with the bronze.
Okay. This one's really good.
Okay. In my youth, I was a beautiful artist and writer and once gave a very well-received verse recital, after which a pastor told me that although my beauty and talent were a thing of wonder, without Jesus I was no better than a streetwalker. I was shocked and offended, but after sleepless nights I prayed. A few weeks later, I saw the pastor again and said I wanted to know Christ, but didn't know how to find him. He said, "Come just as you are." I accepted Jesus and later went on to write the words for a hymn, "Just As I Am." Yeah, that's okay. It's not very exciting. And actually, that's ringing a vague bell. Well, what about the silver level?
Okay, silver level. Right. Oh, yes. Yes, this one.
Okay, let's have a look at this. I had a very bad accident as a youngster and had much prayer for healing, which I've never received. However, I have known Jesus with me. He erases all the horror, all the despair, all the depression of the past when we learn to trust God. He pushes into the background all the terrible times of anguish, and he brings forward the highlights, the moments of hope, peace, and growth. Oh, this is good. Mm. Yeah, as yes. I look back and see God at work in my 50 years...
Sorry. Did I get the age wrong?
Yes. But that isn't the problem, actually. Listen, as I look back and see God at work in my 50 years in a wheelchair, well, obviously not me, is it? And actually, that's ringing a vague bell as well.
Right. Would you like to try a platinum?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, now, this one's really exciting.
Okay. My country was invaded and my family and I found ourselves thrown into prison camps for helping people to escape from the enemy. We were held in appalling conditions and the guards treated us atrociously. My sister died in that place. But throughout it all, we held on to our faith, and many, many years later, I found myself face to face with one of the guards who'd become a Christian. I faced an intense internal battle, but with God's help, found the strength to tell him I forgave him. And then an incredible thing happened, and a healing warmth flooded my body, and I'd never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Never. Oh, come on!
Well, what's the problem? Couldn't you forgive like that?
Yeah, but this is Corrie ten Boom, isn't it? And the one before, that was Joni, and the one before that, I do know that hymn.
Charlotte Elliott, amazing hymn.
Yes, but that's not me, is it? I mean, I'd haven't written a famous hymn, and I'm not in a wheelchair. And you know, the Second World War prison camps, that was before my time. It's not me.
Which is why you can't buy other people's testimonies. I mean, you can borrow them to learn from them, to get encouragement from, but they'll never be you.
No. Well, haven't you got something really exciting that hasn't belonged to anyone else?
Oh, right. So you mean, like, I was abandoned as a child... and I was brought up by wolves until some missionaries found me and they sent me on a skiing trip where I fell and broke both my legs and they got gangrenous and they had to be amputated. Oh, and then they grew back so strong that I was able to run cross country to Outer Mongolia where I was able to preach for 21 days without a breath and single-handedly build my own cathedral.
Oh, now stop. You're being ridiculous now, aren't you? I mean, nobody's going to believe any of that, are they?
Well, why should they? So, we've ruled out Bible stories, real testimonies, and lies.
Well, what should I do then? What do you recommend?
Well, what's so bad with your testimony?
Well, I told you, it's just a bit everyday, a bit dull.
Ah, I may have one you can use. Yes, a particularly good one, this one.
Well, hang on a minute, I thought you said that there aren't...
Why don't you just have a look and see what you think?
Okay.
It's good, isn't it?
Yes, but...
Do you think you'd be able to pull this one off?
Well, yes, of course I could pull that off, but...
Do you think people will believe it?
Well, I don't see why they shouldn't.
How does it make you feel?
Emotional. Loved.
Excited?
Well, yeah. You know, but this is mine. This is my story. But actually... when I read all the little things that have happened to me, the way that God has moved through my life, you know, guiding me through my early university years and his provision at work and church, actually his faithfulness and grace in everywhere, and in good times and in bad. Yeah, I can. I can see his hand at work in me, and actually, that is exciting.
It's true. And people will love to hear it, and it will pack a better punch than any borrowed testimony.
Thank you. But actually, how did you get hold of this?
Oh, I've got everyone's story here, and I'm particularly fond of each one.
That was ace. Thank you, guys. Could I invite Helen and Philip and Naya up, please? We're actually going to have a little bit of testimony time. Now, we're going to hear from Naya, who is going to be getting baptized today. But we thought it would also be really good to hear from some people who maybe were baptized a little while ago and what it was like on their day when they got baptized and what God said to them, and just hearing a little bit about their experience. So we're going to start with Helen. Is that all right? And then we're going to pass to Philip, and then Naya's going to finish up. Thank you.
So I got baptised on the 25th of January, 1981. I wanted to get baptised because after I'd become a Christian and committed my life to living Jesus' way, I wanted to be obedient and follow his command to believe and be baptised. The service was really special as my dad baptised me, and the memory is more special now as my father has dementia and he cannot remember this. When I was baptised, I had to wear a long white gown with little 2p pieces sewn into the hem to weigh the dress down in the water. Fortunately, by then, my father did not have to wear a preaching gown and galoshes, which is what he was expected to wear when he first became a minister. The verse that he gave me when I was baptised was Philippians 1, verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Whenever I read this verse, I still hear my father reading this blessing and exhortation over me.
It was 67 years ago that I was baptized. And when I was first heard the gospel was 5 months before. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I'd been a choir boy for many years, you know, little angelic boy with a hard collar and white surplice and cassock. But I didn't know anything about Jesus. I'd heard his name, I'd sung about his name, but it didn't mean anything to me at all. I was completely ignorant. And then one day, I was persuaded to go to watch a film about the Philippian jailer. And there were some nurses there from Exeter Hospital who gave their testimony. Well, that's what they called it. I hadn't ever heard anything like this before. But I knew that whatever they had, I wanted it. And so I gave my heart to the Lord. And in a wonderful way, I was attached to a little church. It was a gospel hall. They're not so popular these days. I don't know why, but it was a gospel hall. And they were very keen on teaching the scriptures to their youngsters. And the passage of scripture in Acts chapter 8 concerning the Ethiopian eunuch on his way back to his land. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship. And Philip drew near to the chariot and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the passage of scripture that he was reading was from Isaiah. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I?" he said, "except somebody show me." And so Philip got up into the chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch and told him all about Jesus. And presently they came to some water. And the Ethiopian said, "Well, what's preventing me from being baptized?" And the Lord challenged me. What was preventing me from being baptized? I knew that was the next step that I needed to take as a young Christian. And so, again, I went to see the elders in the church and told them what had happened. And they grilled me to make sure that I knew the Lord Jesus as my Saviour. And I was baptized by immersion. I didn't have to sew sand into the bottoms of my trousers, but I was baptized by complete immersion. And there came an amazing joy into my heart because I'd obeyed Jesus. Didn't make any difference to me in that sense, but on the other sense, that was when the Holy Spirit came to reside in my life and really began to change things. He revealed to me sins in my life, things that were wrong, things that I shouldn't have done. As we've been thinking of this morning, how the precious blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. I better stop there, hadn't I? God bless you.
So we did a baptism course, and one of the questions was, how did you become a Christian? And I just thought, well, being a Christian has never really crossed my mind. I just always have been a Christian. But over the past few years is when I have really been praying, listening and talking to God. And at my first Soul Survivor when I was 12 was when I really encountered God. I knew that he would always be there with me, but I didn't really feel it until then. I have discovered worship music and other ways to pray and communicate with God. That was when I really felt like I was a Christian. When I first gave my life to Jesus, I was very young. The only thing I knew was that I was truly dedicating myself to Jesus. However, when I was 13, I regave my life to Jesus, and that was when I was definitely aware of the decision that I was making. Yet, since then, I have discovered that there isn't just one right time to become a Christian. Every time can be the right time, as long as you believe that God is within you. And I believe that God is in me. Even if I don't feel or experience a crazy encounter with God, I always know that God is by my side. So, how did I become a Christian? I listened to these amazing stories of miracles and grew up and learned to pray and love God. I feel I have always been a Christian, but learning to communicate and love God is why I have grown in my experiences with God as a Christian.
Come on. Preach. Aren't they three of the most beautiful things that you've ever heard? Like spreading decades, aren't they, as well? Just beautiful of seeing God work in people's lives from Naya to Philip. Just incredible. Stories, our stories are so important. You can't buy it, can you? It's what God has done in your life. It's what God has done in your life. So I would really encourage you this morning, tell your story to whoever would like to hear it. Tell your story to whoever would hear it. Because those things are so important. And it just bless the guys that are going to be baptized today. I'm going to invite the youth band up and then we're going to finish up. Thank you.